We appreciate all of you being here today and the encouragement that it brings to our hearts. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 18 once again. As we continue in studying about faith, I wanted us to kind of talk about a mother of faith, the example that she has set for us. But more than that, the more I dig into and as we talk about faith and demonstrating faith, so often we talk about the heroes of faith as we have there in Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham, more or less being the very beginning of the example of faith and one that we would follow and see that his trusting in what God had for him. That sometimes we look at these individuals and we think that, well, if I could just have a faith like them. Well, we have been studying and we've been seeing that God reminds us that we just have the faith of a mustard seed. He said it just takes so very little for us to do what we need to do in comparison to what God has already done and made possible for us. And so as we begin to look at these things, it's not so much that we look at those of heroes of faith that they're above and beyond us, but yet God is calling us to be those heroes of faith at home, right? We're not waiting for someone else to do that, but as a child of God, He calls us to be people of promise. The people of promise. We hold to His word, we hold to His promises, and therefore we live by them. Are you with me, church? Okay, you can be vocal this morning. You need it, I need it. I need to make sure you're awake. So you can answer me on some of these hypothetical questions. We need... God calls us to be people of promise. Amen? So in that thread of thought, as we talk about Abraham and Sarah, we find them much later in life. We find them aged. We find them experienced. We see them, much of their life is behind them. And yet there is still a promise yet to be fulfilled, that they are going to become parents. The clock is ticking. Time is fleeting. Their body is no longer operating in that capacity to bring about this promise. But yet God says there's still a promise to be fulfilled. And so in this study, in Genesis 18, we find the Lord is traveling with two angels as He's going to Sodom. And as He's going there, He passes by Abraham's tent. And Abraham sees an opportunity to entertain the Lord. Isn't that a great opportunity? Do you realize that you have that opportunity right here today? You have an opportunity to entertain the Lord. You thought you were coming here for us to entertain you, but just the opposite. We've come here to entertain the presence of the Lord and to honor Him. Amen? And so in that, let's look at Genesis chapter 18. Now, I let you sit down on the last song because I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read our text, okay? So stand with me as we read in Genesis chapter 8. It is 18. Thank you. Scrambled eggs are kicking in already, which, by the way, those are great. Genesis 18. Here we go. The Lord appeared to him by the terebinth tree of Mamre. And as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day, so he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. And he said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. But let a little water be brought, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts, after that you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant." They said, "Do as you have said." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Father, as we come before you today in the reading of your word, we ask your spirit to guide us in the understanding, the application of your word, the example of faith that we have in Abraham and Sarah, that you also may do a work in our hearts and our lives, that we may open our arms of hospitality to you and open our hearts to you to allow you to come and be here today as we honor you with our love and our lives and our obedience to you. Guide us in the understanding of as we grow in faith and trusting in you, that we also may find joy in your presence. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As the Lord comes and the angels accompanying him, they're on a mission, but we take a moment to hear that there is something that the Lord wants to share with them. So in this opportunity, we see Abraham jumps at the opportunity to entertain. Now, this is something that is of the Jewish culture, and it was something that was ingrained in them even before that we see the giving of the Mosaic Law to make this, but it was a part of their culture that they went out and he entertained them. He invited them to come in. Now, it later becomes a part of the Mosaic Law. In Leviticus, he tells us that you were strangers as you were dwelling in the land, and that you should also entertain strangers as they come. And, you know, when we look at these things, hospitality is something that sometimes we shy away from, isn't it? Hospitality is something that we are giving of our resources to benefit another, but more than that, we're entering into a relationship with individuals. We're living a life that is open-hearted to others to give opportunity to come and know and find an opportunity to share the gospel ultimately, right? And so in hospitality, we see this as an example in Scripture, but yet even in Hebrews it says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels unaware. Now, when we look at these things and we look at opportunities, we don't do this in hopes that, oh, well, you know, I'm going to spot that one. Is what it is that we do so with that attitude of life. Amen. You know, we can be hospitable no matter where we are. It doesn't have to be right in our home, does it? Just simply in the line of Walmart, in the line at the restaurant that we're going to. There's always opportunity to open a door of friendliness and kindness. Amen? And sometimes it's not always wanted, and that's okay. Then we just continue to be kind. You know, in Leviticus, when they were saying that if a stranger dwells in your land, do not mistreat them. And in the Leviticus law, he says, because you were strangers. You were strangers in the land of Egypt. But you be kind to them because you know what it's like. Right? And I'm paraphrasing from Leviticus 19:33. So are we as well. You know, I think sometimes we get really bent out of shape when lost people act like lost people. When lost individuals talk like lost people. When they're hurting and they voice that hurt, and sometimes it just comes out on us, right? We're so quick to, I want to get even. I want my say. This isn't right. This isn't fair. I want what I want. When in reality, sometimes we're not called to what we want. We're called to do what God is doing and working in our lives. Amen? My goodness, as much as Jesus has done and bore for us in order that we might have life, can't we take a little discomfort and a little inconvenience to save someone's soul from an eternal place called hell? I'm glad you responded to that one. I was hoping it might hit the mark. But you know, when we live life, too often we begin to think it's my life to live in my time and my place. When in reality, it's God's time, it's God's place, and God's purpose. And he just gives you the opportunity to breathe and have a breath of life and live one more day. Nothing's ours. Amen? Never belonged to you, never will. But yet he gives it to us as if it was our own. But he tells us the most precious way to spend it. And if we can open our hearts to others around us, creating those relationships, having that attitude of looking for some to be a blessing, to be an encouragement. Sometimes it's just giving a positive word. Now, I'm not in this positive thinking and all this that, oh, if you say positive things are going to happen. That's lunacy. You don't dictate what happens in your life. You dictate whether or not you're faithful. And then the results of that comes from the blessings of God's hand. Are you with me? You don't manipulate God. You don't manipulate creation. You don't manipulate nature. You don't even manipulate others. You can try. But what we can manipulate is whether or not I'm going to obey the Lord today. Whether or not I'm going to turn my heart and my mind to what His purpose is. Whether or not I'm going to tune into His Word and allow the Spirit to guide me in each step and each decision. Are you with me, church? And then when we do so, we open our hearts to the Lord as He shows hospitality to us and He brings us into His presence. He then says, why don't you bring someone with you? Isn't it true that when you find something special that is so precious to you, you can't wait to share it with someone else? Exactly. Wasn't that part of the excitement when you found that special someone? Want to go share it with the parents. You reluctantly shared it with your brothers and sisters because you knew that was going to give you a hard time. But you wanted them to meet the one that you love, the one that is so special to you. There's things that are precious to our hearts. My friend, if God is precious to your heart, you're going to share Him. Amen? And we do that in building relationships. So as He comes in verse 10, He said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. Now, in some translations, it translates that in a year I will return, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. The future is known. That's my first point. I want us to think about this. The future is known. Now, in this, God is revealing to them they have waited all of these years. They are, can I just respectfully say, they're old, okay? They are beyond childbearing years. That is long gone. But yet God says now, within this next year, this promise is going to be fulfilled. They have heard this promise rehearsed all throughout their adult life, waiting for this to come, waiting for this to happen. It was in his 70s that Abraham left Haran. And he went into Canaan as God called him, leave your hometown, leave where you're coming from, and go to Canaan, and that's where I will bless you. I will give you this land, I will bless you, I'll make you a great nation. And here goes Abraham, no children. All right, here we go. This is what God's called us to do, this is what we're going to do. And since the age of 70, he's about age 100 now, and so for all of these years, he's waiting. And waiting, and confused sometimes of how is God going to carry this out? You know, they were living in an ideology of we don't know what's coming up tomorrow. We don't know how God is going to do this, but I believe what God says, and that's where we're going to go. That's what we're going to do. His whole life was an example. Him and Sarah both, they were an example of faith. The future is known. So when God guides us, He guides us from the view He already knows what's going to happen. Amen? So our faith doesn't just hang out there on, well, wishful thinking, right? Our faith doesn't hang out on there on just the hope that I've made up in my own mind. But yet our faith hangs upon the consistency, the reliability, the infallible Word of God. Are you with me now? And so as Abraham is trusting, he's trusting in God's Word. So here's a question. Does God's promises, does His Word hold true when we fail? Yes, it does. In Genesis chapter 16, we find that they're getting nervous. In chapter 16, we find that Abraham and Sarah, they're realizing we're getting too old to have children. And so I guess God needs help or something. And so Sarah gets the idea, Well, Abraham, why don't I give you my servant Hagar? You go into her, and she'll be, as we would call, like a surrogate mother, if you will. In their culture, Abraham would have just took on another wife. And so he goes in, and she conceives, and she bears a son, Ishmael. And I think, okay, we've got it all figured out. But that wasn't the answer. That's not what God's plan was. They determined that we're going to do this our way. They stepped outside of God's will and said, we're going to do it our way. And in Genesis chapter 17, verses 17 through 19, God is once again in chapter 17 renewing the covenant with Abraham. And he's telling him, look, Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. In fact, Sarah is going to be a mother of nations. Kings and people shall come from her. And look at what Abraham's response was. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed. And he said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. See their train of thinking? They don't know the future, but all I know is what I can try to do today. And God needs help. Then in verse 19, then God said, No. Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. You see, when God leads us, he leads us with purpose because he already knows what the purpose is. Are you with me, church? He leads us with purpose because he knows where the destination is. And he knows what it requires for us to get there. Amen? And so everything in between, sometimes we think that when we're walking with the Lord and we're walking in faith, we just think that, well, we just kind of make it up as we go. Absolutely not. It's all laid out before us. We have examples, we have illustrations, we have instruction, we have warnings, we have blessings and joys and hopes to look forward to. And it's all based upon His Word. Now, some people ask, will say, well, Pastor, what if they don't believe in the Word? Then, my friend, you have no hope. You know, there have been people in positions of powerful positions that they claim to be the next hope. And they failed to deliver. You know why? Because they're not. There's only one that can claim that title and has the power and the authority to do it. And that's the Lord Jesus. Do you understand that? People think that, well, you're quite bold and you're just saying there's only one way. I didn't say that. Jesus did. So you argue with him. Amen? There really is no argument in it. When you have the power to create all things, you have the authority to sustain them. The very thoughts of your mind controls and all of creation consist. Atoms continue to do what they do, and neutrons and everything circling the atom. And yet the universe is going and comets are flying, and the entire universe all hangs on His Word. There's not much argument there, my friend. So faith is not just a make-believe thing. It is a foundation of a lifestyle, a concern of faithfulness to follow a God who is real and who is true and is true to His Word. And so in His purpose, we find that as we trace through Abraham and Sarah's life, we find repeatedly they're reminded that God says, I will make you a great nation. You know, we've been studying Abraham and Sarah in our Wednesday night Bible study. And when God called Abraham, that was one of the keys. For the very first time when he called him, he told him all the things that he was going to do with Abraham. And all of the promises, every time he says, I will, I will, I will. And when you track it down, he says, I will, seven times. Now, you know, seven is a symbol of completion, perfection. And so he wanted Abraham to know, yes, I'm going to use you, but I'm going to do the work. Amen? you just follow me. I want to ask you, do you find yourself in your life trying to help God out to fulfill his purpose in your life? Do you kind of make plans on your own and go out on your own ideas without consulting him, consulting his word, or maybe even consulting a pastor or your Sunday school teacher to guide you and pray with you and say, what is it that God's wanting as opposed to what I'm wanting? Sometimes we hesitate, don't we? Sometimes we hesitate because I'm not sure if I want to do it his way, I want to do it my way. But here's what we need to do. We need to grow in understanding and follow what we know right now. You know, Abraham and Sarah, they heard God's promises, and they heard God's promises, and they, how is this going to happen? How is this going to come about? You know, it's interesting that here we're going to read in just a minute that Sarah laughs. We find in Scripture that Abraham laughs. You know why they're laughing? This is absurd. How is this going to happen? And you know what, folks? I think the church does the same thing. I really do. I think the Lord's people do the same thing. God calls them to live in direct opposition that it looks hilarious to the world, and we laugh and say, oh, who could do that? The problem is that we never allow God to do what he wants to do, and we don't faithfully follow him to shape us, empower us to accomplish what only he can accomplish. And we just laugh. We laugh it off. Well, who could do that? None of us can, but when we faithfully follow the one who has called us, let's see what God can do. Amen? So we look at this thing called faith, and we keep thinking that it's something that I'm doing. Folks, I'm telling you, that's where you're failing. Faith is not about you. It's about you submitting to the one that has made you. But sometimes that's the hardest thing to do, right? We're filled with questions. We're filled with doubts. And you know what? You need to get online and watch the last two messages, and it answers those. Amen? Right? At times, we just simply need to study a little farther in understanding God's plan, that we may follow his plan. He has a purpose for each and every one of us in service to him and for him. When we follow our own way, we are limited and completely unaware of all that lies ahead of us. But God already knows the future. My second point: can we outlive our usefulness? Let me get that right. In verse 11 of our text is where we get to. Sarah's in the tent, and she overhears the Lord speaking to Abraham. And she hears that, oh, I'm going to be pregnant and have a child in a year. And her response was the same as Abraham's. Verse 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, now see, Abraham and the Lord are sitting outside the tent. Sarah's by herself inside the tent, thinking these things to herself. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Abraham's probably like, what? How am I supposed to know, right? Surely, or shall I surely bear a child since I am old? The Lord heard exactly what her thoughts were. You know, there are times that we voice things to ourselves and we act like the Lord doesn't know what's going on. He knows every detail. He knows even the desires and the disappointments of our hearts. Church, do we forget that? Do we forget that he knows the struggles that you're going through? The Scripture reminds us that he remembers that we are but dust. Aren't you glad that he's compassionate to us? Aren't you glad that he handles us delicately? Have you ever had a little two-year-old and they get a hold of something really, really fragile? And you're like, oh, this is not going to go well. We used to raise rabbits and stuff when we were the kids were real young, and we lived at Richwoods. We were caretakers at the retreat center. And I'm just telling you, there's nothing cuter than a little bunny rabbit. They're so small, and they're so fuzzy, and it's just like, oh, you could just eat these things up. They're so lovable and fuzzy and fun to play with. Well, every time we'd have little kids, I'm like, oh, let's go play with the bunnies. And I'm like, woo, it's so fun. And we had a little kid, and he was about 3. And it's like, here you go. And I'm handing all the kids, and I turn around back to him, and he has this bunny rabbit by the neck. And he's like, "Oh, it's so cute." And I'm like, "Oh, the bunny wants to live. Let's let go of his neck for just a moment, please. Let him breathe." But he's just like, "This is the cutest thing ever." And I'm like, "Yeah, you're about to kill it, you know." He just didn't realize that this thing is delicate. Aren't you glad that God doesn't deal with us in that way? Look at all that he's created and all that he's made and all that he can do. But yet, when he comes to us, he could come in and scare us to death. The power that he has, the holiness of who he is, that every time anyone ever come to his presence in heaven would fall on their faces and couldn't move. But yet, when he comes to us, he keeps describing, "As a mother, I'll never forget you. I'll hold you. I'll remember you. In fact, you're even engraved in the palm of my hand. You'll always be on my heart and on my mind." Isn't it great that the Lord responds to us in that way? But the point I wanted us to point out in this, in point two, do we outlive our usefulness? Sarah was laughing because the absurd thought that God is going to continue to use me in the condition that I am is absolutely absurd. You know, there's maybe even times that not just age that we use as an excuse. Maybe we look to our past. Maybe she's thinking that, you know, "I tried to follow you and we did it our way with Hagar and that didn't go well." When Hagar received and she was with child, she began to berate Sarah. She began to get a little big for her britches, so to speak. She got a little arrogant and she began to fight with Sarah. And Sarah's like, "That's it, I had it. I'm kicking her out of here." Do you remember that, if you're familiar with that example? Things didn't go well. Usually when we step out and do our own thing, it doesn't work well. We'll go to the pastor and we'll give him all kinds of excuses of why I don't do what I ought to do. I'll give you all the excuses of how busy and how hard it is, and how difficult it is. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. And you're excusing yourself right out of God's will, but it is not an excuse that excuses you from the purpose that God has for your life. When we follow God's purpose, we never outgrow our usefulness. Because can I remind you, it's not about you. It's about us following what has already been done, what he is going to already do. Do you understand that? He is going to fulfill his purpose. He gives us opportunity to join him in his purpose and reap the glorious blessings of joy with him. Are you with me, church? I know you're tired. I know that bacon's weighing heavy right now. But I'm asking you, open your eyes for just a minute. You only got just a few more minutes. And we started 5 minutes early, and I might finish 5 minutes early. You with me? Yeah, you're all like, "Yeah, that's a time of laughing. That's absurd. We know better than that." Guy's been here 8 years and still hasn't pulled that one off. You are right. Even when we feel like we have nothing to offer, it does not enter into God's equation. Amen? He's got it all taken care of. And I know that's it's just a pet phrase. He's got it all taken care of. It doesn't take the pain away. It doesn't always take the fear away. It doesn't take the suffering away. But yet it does give us the answer. Our last point, is there anything too hard for the Lord? So verse 14 and 15. Okay, I want you to, we're going back to the scenario. Abraham, the Lord is talking outside the tent. Sarah's inside. She's overhearing what they're saying, and she's thinking to herself, "That is ridiculous. How is this ever going to happen?" And so the Lord says, look, verse 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Now in this, I want you to see the delicate love that he has, but yet can you hear the stern rebuke of a father? Of what are you saying that I can't do it? See, each and every time that we voice an excuse, we tell God, "I just can't do that. I just don't have time. You know, it's just not quite important. There's other important things that I need to do. It's just, we'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes." Do you know what you're saying? God is not good enough. You're not good enough. And no, I'm not going to follow you. Do you understand that's what your excuses say? Even when I listen to them, compassionately, I can relate to you, but do you realize it does not relinquish us from our responsibilities and duties of the cross? Amen? Can I impress that upon you? He says, so what? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, I want you to know something. This is why we trust in the Word of God. God doesn't just give generalities. Well, in about a year, a woman somewhere might have a child. That's what many of the prophecies that the world looks at and things of philosophy of our world today, and yet people will throw their lives to it. But yet in Scripture, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, God gives us the exact detail. He gives the time. He's already named the child. He's already named the mother. And it will happen exactly when He says. Now you tell me that that's not the infallible Word of God. There's no other writing in the earth that is this consistent. Name, date, and place. And yet we look at God's Word and say, I don't know. Can I really trust that? My friend, you can, and I will stake my life on it. Well, I have. I already have. And so, verse 15, but Sarah denied it. Now she's fearful, right? Now she's embarrassed, right? I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. What's God's trying to do here? He's trying to get him to wake up, amen? You're giving me all these excuses. In fact, you even laugh at the idea of what I can do. You know why? The Lord says, you're not trusting me. More than that, you're not listening to me. We too often view what God can do through the lens of our own eye. Oh, God, I've only got just a little bit here. I've only got so much to work with. I've only got so much time. And God says, that's okay. Time doesn't affect me. That's okay. I own everything. That's okay. I know exactly where this is going, and I know how you need to get there. It's okay. Trust me. I have a purpose for all that I'm doing. Amen? Mamas, how many times have you tried to get the kids to gather up and do what they need to do, and they're always going, why? 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 Well, what about the other one? Well, why don't they? Why? Child, I love you, but would you just do what I tell you? Yep, I got those lectures too. And you know what the problem is? Is that those whiny little snivelly little kids, they don't know. Even if you tell them, they don't understand. Do you know why? They're a child. They don't understand the things of adulthood. Even when they get big and tall, they still don't understand the things of adulthood until they step into it. And then life hits them right in the face. And it's like, wow, life really stinks. Sometimes it can. Oh, so now I know why we have to go to church. Now I know why we need to seek the Lord. Now I know why I need the Lord to guide me, because this is the mess. Nobody told me this. Yeah, we told you all your life. You weren't listening. Right, mamas? Oh, now see, I got some enthusiastic. Amen. Preach it. Preach it. We've been doing it for years, right? As God is reaching out to His people, He has to remind us, why do you think this is too hard for me? You're looking through the wrong set of eyes. In Hebrews chapter 11, Sarah does follow in faith. Looking in Hebrews 11, it gives us an insight. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, meaning Abraham, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. You know what? We can look at Hebrews chapter 11 and we can look back in retrospect. Yeah. There's an entire nation in existence that is in the very focal point of the news and everything that goes on in this world. And you know what that come from? One promise of one son. Name, date, and place. God give, this is how it's going to happen. And what? Do you think there's anything too hard for me? And He's still working, amen? Now that's something to get excited about. And do you understand that in that same family, that when Jesus came, He came to the Jew first? And then he allowed the Gentiles to come and be grafted in to the original olive tree. That olive tree in the book of Romans, he'll talk about it, it represents Israel. If you go back into the Old Testament, that olive tree represents Israel. But now, those that are Gentiles, the church, the new believers in the New Testament age have been grafted in by faith into the very family and the kingdom of God. Are you with me, church? So we see that these promises continue, these promises carry on because God has purpose and he continues to work. Even in us today, is there anything too hard? We have an entire nation before us. We have an entire church age that has come because of a promise. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Is that not what our entire faith upon God and salvation is based upon? Is one promise. Amen? And not only is our faith and our salvation based upon a promise, but our future hope of heaven is based upon a promise. He said, where I go, you may come. Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you that where I may be, that you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. What is that way? To follow the Lord Jesus through faith. Amen? I'm going to ask you, how would you rate your faith today? Do you find yourself sitting in the tent quietly to yourself today, laughing off? Pastor, he gets excited, and it's a lot of fun to watch him, but I'm not buying all of this. You can laugh, but the Lord hears it. It doesn't matter if I hear it. Sometimes it frustrates me because I'm so passionate about you. You know, I keep reminding you, I am your number one fan. I am the lead cheerleader in your team. I want you to grow. I want you to succeed. I want you to turn this community upside down for the cause of Christ. I want you to bring in and cause a revival starting in you. I want to see you bring your neighbors, your friends, your family into God's house. And we see the Lord saving souls and adding to the kingdom. That's what I want for you. Because there is no other purpose that is greater than God's purpose for you today. So don't allow the laughing, the disbelief, the unbelief, the limited, narrow thinking that we have keep us from allowing God to have his way and to carry out. Do you need proof? I think we do. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1 through 7. Did God fulfill this promise? Absolutely. Absolutely. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. I want you to look at this for a moment. This is a year later. God called it name, date, place. This is where it's going to happen. Mamas, how many of you knew exactly when that baby was going to come? Not rare thing, isn't it? In fact, there's times it's like, is this child ever going to come and get this done? I've seen mamas walking up and down the block. And it's like, oh my goodness, why are you walking? I'm trying to get this kid out of here. If we could name it and date it, it would be so much more convenient, wouldn't it, than making that midnight rush to the hospital and everything starting, right? Can you see what God is doing? He's showing you that he is worthy of our lives and our fortunes and our trust, our children, our wealth, our homes, our community. Is there anything I'm leaving out? Our jobs. He is worthy of it all. Because the future is already known. All we need to do is follow. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time at which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who will have said to Abraham, that Sarah would nurse child or children, for I have borne him a son in his old age. Isn't this exciting? A year ago, she was laughing, saying, there's no way that God could do something like that. There's no way that this could happen. And now that God fulfills his word, she's laughing with joy. Who would have ever thought that this could have ever happened? And yet, God has made it happen. Church, when are we going to seek the Lord and hunger for a joyful laughter here at Lindsay Lane? You think it's up to me. The scripture says it's up to you. I'm not the church. I am the under-shepherd leading the church. You are the church. Sarah laughs with joy and faithfulness and obedience to the Lord. We find joy and we find rejoicing in Him. Romans chapter 15. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about this scripture. As Paul is writing to new believers, he's writing to young Christians, and he says, my hope for you is that the God will fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now, I want you to understand is that as pastors, we so desperately hope that you will grow and understand the joy and blessing, but sometimes we get focused on the blessing and forget about the blessing giver. That's where we fall short, folks. Oh, I want all the joy. I want all the benefits of having a good life and being a good person, but yet I don't want to be submissive to the only one that can give it. And so we're back to faith all over again. Lord, I know how I want to do it, but I hear what you're saying. For with all joy and peace, in believing, in trusting, and in faith, that you may abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, when we begin to follow the Lord and we find His purpose for our lives, and we dig in His Word, we understand His character, His love, we take His warnings and we guide every part of our lives in that. Do you see we're walking just like Abraham and Sarah? And there's going to be times He's going to call upon you and you're going to think there's no way. But can I be a witness to you that there are times that say, God, this doesn't make sense. There's times on paper, it's like, it is not going to work. But God, you've just impressed me. I've trusted you before. You'd never fail me. I don't know how it's going to happen, but we're going to do this. I'm going to follow you. And can I tell you, every time that He's pushed me into that, at the end we stopped and say, I never could have dreamed a better outcome on my own. I never could have pulled everything together the way God does. Now, am I telling you this just so that you will get to those blessings on the other side? I'm just telling you, you get the first thing right, everything else will fall in place. Too often in our society, we're working on the things that we want, when in reality, when we get God in the right place, we see His purpose, we submit to that, everything else is added. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things that the Gentiles seek will be added unto you. Do you believe His word or do you not? We're back to faith. Folks, I love you. God leads with purpose in all the detail, the gentleness that He has for us. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? If there is, God's challenging you. He presented that not as a question, but He presented it, how dare? How dare you try to put me in a box? Now, step aside and watch me work. Let's bow our heads together this morning. This is going to be our dismissal prayer. Father, as we come before you today, we are thankful that you are a God of purpose. Our faith does not rest upon fairy tales and hopeful thinking that rest upon our own abilities. Because, Lord, we would be without hope. We would be without a future. More than that, we would be without salvation. But God, because you have come and because of a promise that you promised a Savior, you sent your Son to be that perfect, sinless Savior and sacrifice, that when He died on the cross, it was sufficient, it was full, and it paid the penalty for all mankind. and offered salvation and eternal life to any and all who will trust in him. God, we thank you. That is where hope comes from, because it was successful. It is true, and it continues to be a reality today as you are a resurrected Savior on the right hand of the Father, exercising all authority. Lord, I pray for those that maybe they're in a place of crisis of their faith, that they're allowing everything else to override what they know needs to be in your hands, and they know to be seeking your will and your purpose. God, I'm asking that you'll renew them to a heavy conviction and push them to that place of blessing like you did in my life. Push them to a place of blessing as you did for Abraham and Sarah. Draw us back to your heart. Draw us back into your purpose. Lord, I pray for those that do not have faith and they haven't trusted in you. Maybe they don't even believe that you are. Lord, I pray that you will open their eyes and open their understanding, that they may come to know you, not just that you exist. Even the demons acknowledge that there's a God and tremble. But yet, God, I ask that you will help them to come to an understanding, that you'll capture their hearts in a genuine salvation and bring them into your kingdom. Lord, thank you for loving us. Lord, we thank you for our mothers. I pray for the families that will be together today. May their hearts burn within them to seek to know you and your purpose for each of their lives. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. And all the people said, amen.